We were on Nguyen. Dalai Lama's
base.
Yes.
If you like the Tashma.
Where?
Bottom of your daddy.
From the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Tashma. Shnei did in its base, it's in him, it's starving. Shnei. Nesorin, Ain, Mistarfin. Okay, so the Gemara says that two Siddinim, two sheets are Mistarif, meaning what? Two sheets are Mistarif to pass the Sukkah. Right, if they're underneath the Sukkah and they're not there just for Shem Noir, remember we discussed that sheets are under the Sukkah for Shem Noir, not a problem. They're under the Sukkah for the purpose of shelter, then they can be Mistarif to pass the Sukkah. Two beams, even if they're right next to each other, do not pass the Sukkah. Whose opinion would that be? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Why?
Because Rabbi Yehuda says that if it doesn't...
But there's no problem, why does it be? Okay. Rabbi Meir emer af nesorin kesdinim. Rabbi Meir disagrees, says Ritarim, if they're together, will pass the sukkah just like sin. That's just like sin and just like sheetzot. So he says this makes a lot of sense for Did I say something funny?
No, just laughing that you did the Amor in one go.
So this makes a lot of sense for Shmuel. The Shmuel said, remember, the Shmuel's position was the Machlekes Shin Rabbi Meir and Yehuda is over four tefachim wide. What was the position?
Over four tefachim wide possible.
According to?
The Rav Korma.
Yeah, and under three tefachim. Why?
Because it's not such a. There's not enough for it to be considered anything.
It's just Kanim Be'alma, or it's like under Shir Lavud, right? The Mara had those formulations, right? And then between 3 and 4, we have the Machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a problem, Rabbi Meir says it is.
Yeah, whether
right,
the
so
air joins over the.
I'm sorry?
Whether the air joins over the.
That's right, we discussed Lavud. Okay, fine. So, according to Shmuel, this makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Meir says that if you have two beams that together, that each of them is less. Then let's say three tefachim, keeping simple. But together they are more than four, so they're both like 2.5. Right? You stick them next to each other, they're mistarif to how much?
Four.
More than four, right?
Yes.
Four, Rabbi Yehuda says they're both narrow enough, so they're not mistarif.
Okay.
Kishmak. That makes a lot of sense. For Rav, right? Rav was the one who said that Rabbi Yehuda holds their beans even if they're wider than four tefachim, and not a problem. No?
Yes.
Therefore, if beams, even if they're wider than four tefachim, are not a problem, then what exactly are we talking about to be mitzarif? Like mitzarif to what exactly? According to Rabbi Yehuda, for what purpose will they be mitzarif? They're kasher anyway, they can be ten tefachim and they'd be kasher.
Maybe they were both learning.
I'm sorry?
Maybe they were learning, so they wanted to join.
Lonely beams. So Magali, Magali Panim Chazash Fatera. Okay, right? And say, if it's more than Arba, it doesn't matter as much anyway. And if it's less than Arba, then Rabbi Yehuda already says, Kanim Be'alma, it's nothing, they're just twigs, and twigs are not a problem. Right? So said Agmara immediately, says La'ilam. Sorry?
There's a challenge on Rav.
Yes. La'ilam de'izbehu Arba, o my mitzdarfin la'arba amais min hatzad. So, What is the case? We are talking about they have more than four tefachim. They're mitzarif together. They are more than four tefachim. What is this talk about? It's go up to four amos from the side of the sukkah. These beams are mitzarif to basically get to four amos from the side of the sukkah. Why is four amos from the side of the sukkah important? Very good. Doish v'nakoma. Right? Basically, they are mitzarif to create more of a doish v'nakoma than you're allowed to have. After four tefachim, the doish v'nakoma is mutter as long as you're not sitting under it. Right? More than four tefachim, they are not. If you have these beams, then they're linked together to form, even though they are kasher sach, they will link together to form a pasul ceiling above the sukkah if it's more than 4 amos from the side.
But if it would make a ceiling, then how could it be kosher schach?
Is an excellent question. I'm not sure. You are right. And then Tosfos says that the machlokes is Rabbi Meir says they are mitzarif to 4 amos or more, right? And that the pasul sukkah is a definite kumah, but it's too big a definite kumah. And Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the case. These are kosher sach, like what Yoni said, and therefore they cannot form a definite kumah. I don't know. That's supposed to be the idea that someone doing it on the one hand is mikra din midiraisa kosher sach. I mean, the truth is, Rabbi Meir held you wouldn't enter. According to this read, Rabbi Meir held you wouldn't, and you weren't meant to sleep under the beam.
Yes.
Right. So maybe he's saying it's not really kosher sach, it just doesn't pass the sukkah until you've got too much of it.
But isn't it in the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda?
No. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said it's mitarfen. Right. Rabbi Meir said mitarfen. So maybe the answer is, well, they aren't really kosher sach; they just don't pass the sukkah usually. Right. In this case, they would even pass the sukkah. That's the way Rav would explain it. Okay. Very good. Ella la Rabbi Shlomo Rami Meir, my mitzarfin mitzarfin la Rabbi Zvina Sav, Ella Rabbi Yehuda Amar Avilu Yesh Bein Arba Aksheira, my ain mitzarfin kanim ba'almanin hu. So it says that makes sense for Rami Meir. Rav's opinion of Rami Meir makes perfect sense. But what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says ain mitzarfin? Of course they're not mitzarfin, they're just kosher sach. They're kanim ba'alma, they're twigs. Right? Beams are the same as twigs, there's no difference between them. Right, so what does it mean by ain mitzarfin? They're not mitzarf to what? What could they theoretically have been mitzarf according to Rabbi Yehuda? Aidi de ka'am Rabbi Meir mitzarfin, amar Rabbi Yehuda ain mitzarfin. So their answer is, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda had a half a minute they could be mitzarf to something, but he had to say they're not mitzarf. It's that since Rabbi Meir said they are mitzarf to a doifin akuma, to pass the doifin akuma, so Rabbi Yehuda said, no, they're not. And the reason why is they're not mitzarf to anything at all. They're just good stuff. There's a braisa which supports Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah. There's a braisa that supports Shmuel's interpretation of the Mishnah. Right? Tanya kavasi de Rav sechacha b'nitzarim shel eres she'ein b'ein arba'a divrei akol sheira yish b'ein arba'a Rav Yemir poitzer Rav Yehuda bachshir. Right, so the braisa says that if you were to use cedar beams, right, as schach, and if it was less than Arba Tachim, everybody agrees it's kosher. More than Arba Tachim, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, and Rabbi Meir says it's not. Which is exactly what Rav thought the Mishnah was saying.
Yes.
Right?
Is there significance in cedar beams
now? I think it's just they're very big, solid, you know, impressive beams. Like, it's like emphasizing the point almost, I suppose. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ma'aseh b'Shasach Zakadah Shehaviv Mitzarim Shehayu Behed Arba'a V'Sichachnu Al Gabei Mirpeses V'Yeshavnu Tachtein. So the Rabbi Yehuda says there was a time when the Romans tried to killing us for keeping mitzvahs, and what we did when we wanted to build a sukkah, we built the roof out of beams because the Romans wouldn't recognize the sukkah that way. But even Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not the normal way of building a sukkah. Even if it's kosher, right, you put these beams across the top of the sukkah, nobody's going to think you're doing a sukkah, so they wouldn't realize you're keeping sukkah. Punish you for it.
Okay.
Right? Amrulai Misham Raya? Is that a good proof? Why would there not be a good proof? What sort of proof is that, right? Ain Shasa Sakana Raya. What do you mean? They were threatening to kill you. Okay, nobody said anything because you were eating outside the sukkah. Of course they didn't. You were going to die if you ate inside the sukkah. Like, it makes perfect sense that nobody said anything, and it's not because you're fulfilling the mitzvah. Okay. Tanya kavasi de Shmuel, there's a brisa which is similar to Shmuel. Sechacha b'nitzarim shel eres sheyesh ben arba divrei Yaakov psula ein ben arba Rami Meir poitzer Rav Yehuda machshir. And later Rami Meir sheim yesh ben and they netzel neser kimlay neser shemeniach pasal pas shemeniach pasal b'nehem uchsheira. Right, so there was, basically the Baisa says that if you were to put cedar beams on top of the sukkah, so if there were more than 4 tefachim, everybody agrees they're possible. If they're less than 3 tefachim, everybody agrees they're kosher. if
between
3 and 4. And but Rabbi Meir will acknowledge, and then between three and four we have Machlokes Rabbi Meir. Yehuda Rabbi Meir says it's basar. It's basar. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not. But Rabbi Meir agrees that if you have more than the width of a beam between the beams, right? If the beams are more than the width of a beam apart, then the area between the beams is kosher.
Oh, okay, fine.
Right, it's just the area of the length of beams. It's
right
there.
So it's not that the beams fused.
I mean, they will if there's less than the space, less than the width of a beam between the beams, right? If they were closer than the width of a beam, but if they're further apart than the width of a beam, then they don't fuse, they don't cut, they don't pass the slip, they just, you don't, shouldn't be underneath the beam itself. Right? Right? Rabbi Yehuda, she'im nasan alea netzer, shu rachav arba atvachim kshira. Ve'ein yeshanim tachtav ve'anashin tachtav le'yotza yedei chayvasai. And Rabbi Yehuda will acknowledge that if they are more than 4 tefachim wide, right, then you should not sleep under that beam. And if you do, you do not fulfill your occupation, even though it doesn't pass the sukkah.
If it's more than 4.
It's more than 4. Right, okay, that, so we have a brisa that learned, that has the Mishnah, Machlokes the Mishnah according to Rami, according to Rav, we have brisa that's the Mishnah according to Shmuel. What do we pass in?
We pass in on Shmuel.
We pass in Shmuel?
Yes.
You sure? Rav and Shmuel halach, okay.
No, that's not Rav.
Rav Beisurim and Shmuel B'mamas, right? So there's Malach and Rav and Shmuel, we almost always pass on Rav in any Yeshua Beisurim, we always pass, on Shmuel in the Yeshua in Shmuel B'mamas.
I was just thinking here because it wasn't a good proof from the Brighter for Rav, but it was a
good proof. No, it was a great proof. The first Brighter for Rav.
Yeah,
but we say it's not a good proof because it was still
a good proof. It's Shar Chacham.
No, that was in the argument in Rav Meir and Huda. There's a bright that records this discussion of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, after being kosher, he's going to use it then. Rabbi Meir came along and said, that's not the bright, it was a shas kana. And according to Rav, do we pass on Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda?
Is this another one of these Rabbi Yehuda?
Rabbi Meir.
Very good. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on Rabbi Meir.
Cool.
By the way, there's always a way to check. What's the way to check?
Inside
of the Gemara. Very good. You check what your wheels are on inside. Okay. And where were we up to? Itzman. So we have a suggestion. So what happens if you then turn the beam on its side? And presumably it doesn't have 4 tefachim anymore. It's no longer 4 tefachim wide on its bottom side. Is that kasher or not? So Ravuna says it is in fact, it remains possible. I think the Gemara is actually going to explain the reason why later, so I'm not going to explain now. But it's not intuitive, right? Intuitively, you would have thought it's kosher, right? If it's narrow, if you turn it to its narrower side and it's no longer 4 tefachim wide, then intuitively you would say it's kosher. No?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Rav Ravuna Amri Kshayra Ikla Rav Nachman Nasura Ule Gabi Rakhifte Rav Ravuna Amri Le'akon Altidem Ma'wamar Le'u Psula. So, Rakhifte Rav Ravuna came to see Rav Nachman when he visited Zora. Remember, where does Rav Nachman live?
In Eretz.
No.
In
Mechuza, right in the capital of the Sasanian Persian Empire. Right, he's the Av Beis Din of the capital of the Sasanian Persian Empire. Why is he visiting Zora?
Because he's Rebbe there.
No, he's probably the most important player. Like, he's in the most important rabbi around. So he's like, and then like checking out what's going on every so often. Like a chief rabbi, you know, except for.
Isn't
like the chief rabbi who actually does his job as opposed to the chief rabbi who didn't in the past.
I don't know.
I'm moving on.
But isn't there an Indian of going to visit your Rebbe on Shalosh Galim?
Yeah, but his Rebbe is Shmuel.
Okay,
so. Who lives in Mechuzah. So, if he's going away from Mechuzah, he's not visiting Shmuel.
Cool.
Okay. So it's Amri, Le Afan. So then they asked him, the Shaila, right? Is this kosher? He said, possible. Pasal like Rav Huna said, right? Why? Nasu kishipunim shel matechas. It's as though they were metal.
Wow.
What does it mean that they're metal?
Possible.
They're not makabel tumah. What do you mean they're possible?
They're not kudulei karka. But they are.
Thank you for that. It means that once they've already been called apostle, there's no distinction between them and any other apostle beam that you could have put on the sukkah, and so they just remain apostle until you've, you know, done something else with them. But once they've got a shame soul,
it's very, you have to actually do something.
Yeah, they're already apostle. Bechefza, that stage. So you can't use it for a sukkah anymore, yeah?
If you put them that way first, then they're fine.
They would have been fine.
Interesting.
Amr lehu Ravuna loy Amri lehu Amri kavos kavasi. Ravuna said to them, didn't I tell you that you should agree with me? Didn't I tell you it's possible? Why didn't you listen to me? Ravuna's Talmud of
Rav.
Very good. Meaning he lived in
Surah.
Yeah. Right, so he was there, right? They basically had this fight. Then Rav Nachman came on, they were like, okay, we'll go after Rav Nachman. So they went after Rav Nachman, he told them the reason. And then they came and told Rav Nachman, he's like, of course he said that, I knew I was right. Okay. So it says, I'm related. They said to him, Ummi Amarla Mar Taima Veloi Kablinan Mine. Wait, you didn't explain yourself. You just said it. You had this, like, weird shot, and you didn't explain yourself. If you'd explained that, maybe we would have listened to you. But you didn't. Right? It says, Amar lehu, emi ba'isu mi ba'itayma, v'loi amri lehu. Wait. He says, Ravuna responds, you didn't ask me why I thought what I thought. You just said that's stupid. Okay, so I didn't explain myself. Why should I explain myself?
Wow.
By the way, it's very rare that you have something in the Gemara that's so clearly an actual conversation that happened.
Yeah.
Right? This is clearly relating an actual conversation.
Interesting.
No?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Alema Misaele Eina Mazekis de Roshoi Verubai Veshulchonai Oisha Nifritza Bar Pirza Hdesha Yizdakir Bahabag Di Bevas Roshoi. So, and Rav Huna and Rav Nachman's pshat that the beam, once it's possible forever. Right? And it's nothing you can do in the mashon, it's supported by the following brisa. Because there's a brisa that says that if you made it too small, it doesn't hold your head, body, and most of your body and a table, or remember we pass the lakmi chaman, right? Its walls are not able to prevent a goat from walking through, which is the shear of a wall of sukkah, or you would have put 3 tfachim of a 4 tfachim beam over a 4 tfachim wide beam over the sukkah, meaning you've got 3/4 on, but you don't have it totally on yet. It is possible. You have from that point on passed the sukkah. So this supports the statement of Rav Huna that it passes it. Well, that's the implication, right? Because if you know you could do something, then it will tell you what you do instead of telling you it's possible.
But surely then in the case where like there's a line growing onto the thing and you cut it off and all you have to do is then lift it back.
Instead of it, you have to take it at the point, then you have to take it off the sukkah and putting it back on.
Oh, so you're recreating it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It's not turning the.
No, because the idea is you just turn it off without taking it off.
So if you were to take it off and then put it back on the other way around, it would be fine.
Alright, yeah, that would be okay. Right. Okay, what's the case? Isn't this a case where you turned it on the side? Right, meaning, if there was a simple solution, it's just turning it on the side, then the mission is to do the price, should have said, just turn it on the side. Right, it shouldn't have said it's possible. The fact that it says possible implies there's nothing you can do about it. Right? This lie. Hachevim ayaskin, and gigoin de ancha, afuma, de metalauta, de ayotlasa, le gab, ve'apikhad, de bar, de havi, le pesal ayotim in a sukkah, ve'chol pesal ayotim in a sukkah, nidoin kesukkah. No, what's the case? The case is, it's not saying once you put 3 tefachim on, it's all gone, and now you need to completely remove it before you can use it again. Right? What it's saying is making a chiddush. Right? The chiddush is as follows. When you have 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim, a 4 tefachim might be as possible for a sukkah, right?
Yes.
So if I asked you, where does the fourth of my beam have to be to pass the sukkah?
On the sukkah.
On top, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. If it's next to the sukkah, that's not a problem. I can agree. We're agreed. Good. Right, so you've all passed in, so we can do it on sukkahs. Right? Yeah, our beam's next to the sukkah, that's not a problem. So, right, the Gemara says, this price has a big chiddush. Right, what if you have it 3/4 onto the sukkah? And remember, 3 tefachim is not a problem, according to all opinions. Right? You have it 3 tefachim onto the sukkah, and there's another half tefach of overhang outside of the sukkah. Is that kosher? So I would have said yes. Right? The Braitha says no, that overhang from a beam that's mainly on the sukkah, but not entirely, is considered to be part of the sukkah as well, and therefore it also passes the sukkah. Right? Since the beam as a whole is wide enough. And that was the point the Braitha was making.
Okay.
Cool. Shkayech, we will continue, please, until tomorrow.
Yes.
That was a very quick day.
It was reasonably...
How do I...